Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, S-I-M-A International, for inspired performance.
Join the team from SEMA International on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, here on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Well, here we are for our two-hour segment. It's a real pleasure for me today to welcome two new broadcast partners that are going to be meeting with me once a week. They're actually connected with SEMA International as I am. And, of course, Bill Hendricks and Ben Dilla, who have been with the show. So welcome to the line, Mark Stevenson and Suze Grimes.
Well, good morning. Thank you.
And Mark, we got you there too as well. Great. Well, they're both back in central United States. Mark and Suze are consultants with SEMA International that is based in Minnesota, which is a practice focused on leadership development, high potential development, executive search, and executive and career coaching. Let me give a brief intro of the two of them before we get going as a threesome. Prior to SEMA International in 1991, Suze designed and facilitated national training programs in the corporate sector. Armed with a BA in psychology and religion, she now designs workshops, training programs, and leadership development programs that actually build on the foundation of the system for identifying motivated abilities. And she's also an adjunct faculty member at Bethel University in the Masters of Organizational Leadership program. A mother of two adult daughters and a new owner of a two-year-old yellow lab, leading a very active life also with her husband. Suze's SEMA motivation, as we'll call it, is to bring ideas and concepts to make a tangible impact in the lives of others as a person who wants to organize, facilitate, and coordinate. Mark Stevenson. Mark leads the SI North Central practice and has broad consulting experience in education, healthcare, and family and closely held businesses. Since beginning his career with SI in 1994, Mark has served more than 1,800 leaders. Of late, he's been focused on a collaborative venture to actually grow the practice as it serves a variety of corporate and faith-based organizations. Mark and his wife of 18 years, Gretchen, are raising three active children and are active in various church and community efforts. He graduated from Colorado State University with a BA in Humanities with a concentration in English. Now, my first question is actually going to be directed at Mark. Suze was very self-revealing there, Mark, and told us what her motivated essence is. How about you? What does the process show that Mark Stevenson is all about?
Very good. Well, my motivations really are aligned around bringing to life some ideas, ideals, not unlike Suze. And moving those then in the direction of thinking about impact, understanding complexities, and being able to bring some clarity to situations for clients and organizations.
That's very good. And if I can throw mine in the mix, of course, and Suze knows this because actually Suze was responsible for training me as I joined the organization to be licensed in SEMA, and that is I'm all about pioneering, extracting potential, reaching effectiveness, and then the one area I have to be careful of is I like to prevail. Right, Suze?
That's exactly right,
Sarah. That's right. And my colleagues know that whenever we get on these global telecons of ours, I'm the first one out there poking around about, you know, how can we change it up big time? And immediately when we do, everyone wants to flag out, I think we heard the pioneer speaking, which I love that. Well, Mark, give us an overview of specifically your practice. Of course, you're aware that, and our listeners are, that Bill Hendricks is also with us in the broadcast partner space. But what's unique and how is your practice moving forward then?
Yeah, great question. We're in our 28th year as a practice in the Twin Cities area. And so part of that, we've always had, I think, an interesting blend between corporate work for corporate clients of different kinds, both in manufacturing and retail and healthcare clients. We've always maintained serving the not-for-profit world as well, and are serving right now some both regional organizations that way, in terms of colleges, universities, and even some international NGOs like World Vision. Mm-hmm. And we also occupy a space with local congregations and different churches around the United States. So we really do enjoy moving across those different spaces with the work that we do, and to do it really as a as a team, a collaborative team, a group of people that's bringing lots of different gifts, of course, to bear in that endeavor. And just as we discussed now, with your motivations, Sue's, myself, we want to be thinking about and absolutely practicing what we preach and putting really the best talents and gifts to bear for the client needs that we find out there.
You bet. Now, you know, of course, the broadcast sponsor that follows you is Jennifer Cashel, and Jen's focus her business on unleashing the potential and matching opportunities for the some 1 billion youth around the globe through an online virtual network. Sue, you might make some comment when we say universities and colleges. Maybe talk about a project where it could bring to light how this assessment process has helped young people at the collegiate level.
Yeah, great question. Thanks, Zara. My experience has been in the past 15 years bringing this process into a classroom setting where the young adults, typically freshmen or sophomores in college, go through a class. Typically, it meets several times a week for probably about 8 weeks, and they work with each other to understand their stories of strengths, and when they are done with that class, they've actually got what we call an outline, which helps them determine what situations are the best internships for them, mm-hmm. what classes are going to be a good fit for them, what classes are going to be more difficult for them, some coping strategies, you know, in their college career. And also it's used through the career center of the university to help them write their resumes.
Yeah. If I recall, Sue's, also, wasn't there not a SEMA practice that actually worked with the college that did this approach for, like, the entire entering freshman class to be able to track what higher retention rates, wasn't it, is actually what happened with the SEMA activity, is they partnered with the university and had the entire entering freshman class, and they did this over 8 years. And the data showed that as the young people would use the information, as Sue's had talked about, that they could leverage it to make sure they were taking the right courses that focused on their, indeed, their passion and the direction they wanted to go with their careers. And then secondly, as well as help them really target then that whole transition post-college. And this study showed that over the course of them tracking 8 different classes of entering freshmen, that indeed the data showed that more kids, up to like 60% differential in the kind of the before and after, were much more effective then in retaining the students at the college, graduating on time in 4 years, and then actually finding that career position that will leave them in a great position for, you know, the 2 to 3 to 4 years for their first year out. The one thing that this practice also is involved in, I know from my experience of having worked with Mark and Sue's, is that they would have quite an endeavor focused in general talent management with companies. So, for example, we've talked about on this show the idea, for those of you out there listening that are leaders of organizations, that you can actually be engaged with selecting your talent in a better fashion. The impact that it had by doing SEMA year over year within the one university, and how it really spiked the retention records and the ability of those young people then find good positions to place in their career.
Absolutely. What we do find is that, particularly at the college level, if the students are able to engage early on in a meaningful relationship that's connecting them to others and to their college, they do stay. And, you know, this process facilitated that and also really gave them additional direction on, you know, what they want to be doing with their life, and really made them maximize the resources at the college. So it was a very good fit for us.
And do you find, of course, that's one thing we should mention about the SEMA process, it literally creates your motivated abilities pattern, right? And Sue, you might mention that this is timeless data, right? This is a gift that you can hold on to then for the duration of your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. What we do know about SEMA is that it's uncovering that core passion and giftedness that has, you know, really been, as our longitudinal studies show, remains relatively constant and stable throughout life. So even as young individuals, they are starting to get a real accurate picture of those parts of them that really are going to provide that core satisfaction and that core motivation so that they can be involved in majors and careers that really pull to their strengths.
That's great.
year.
Yeah, Mark, you mentioned NGOs, non-governmental organizations that are working the nonprofit. You said World Vision. Could you give us some examples of how the process of guiding their leadership through the use of the motivated abilities has been so effectual for them?
Yeah, I think that's great. About 12 years ago, we actually helped World Vision in the selection of their president in the United States organization, whose name is Richard Stearns. And at that point, World Vision was a great organization, had been doing really powerful things around the world, both in terms of relief, emergency relief in difficult situations, and also long-term community development. And as part of that process, we really studied the organization and its key needs and also the areas of potential, and defined those in some documents that we call critical requirements, and then went about the work of that search, and it yielded a wonderful person as the president of the organization, who has now basically tripled its size in his tenure, and has really done quite a bit to through his motivation to overcome obstacles and create effectiveness, help the organization be able to serve millions of more people and children around the world in very difficult situations. And that relationship continues even today with the selection of national directors in different places. And yesterday I had a call with two African leaders that are clients of mine in the organization as well. So it's really understanding and leveraging the uniqueness of those people and their abilities to be able to meet the mission in even, I guess, more focused ways, because we can understand the mission of the person and how that then aligns with the mission of their role or their main charge, and really help to make that match in a powerful way.
Yes, and in fact, the essence of using this technique in the process of identifying the right leader then, of course, is not just to make the selection process, but also then to facilitate the onboarding and their continued leadership development.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And being able to speak to the individual and help them continue to leverage and maximize in that new environment over the course of years is a really great combination that we like to help provide.
You bet. Mark, in my introduction to you, I mentioned how a number of your clients have been family or closely held businesses. How would the application of this assessment process be something different for a smaller family-owned business than how you've seen it, you know, come to the fore in larger organizations? Is there anything distinctly unique about that?
Yes, I really do think so. As we all know about our families, we seem to think we've got everybody figured out, and we know where they're coming from, and we continually get surprised with what is really important to one individual or the next. So when a family is also a business, there's an awful lot of typecasting that can go on. There's also assumptions and other, I think, obstacles to that person sometimes playing to really what their strengths are or could be in that context. So we tend to be able to be an objective observer there who says, well, set all the family aside for a moment and take a look inside your life and inside your system of motivations, and then think about what that might look like, what that best context might be. There's in family businesses, I think, a lot of assumption that this is the way our grandfather did it, this is the way my father did it, so I'll do it that way as well, or at least that's the expectation. And I think we know anybody that's been in a closely held family business or knows people who have been there, those regularly go very, very, very poorly. People don't find their place, and they seem to oftentimes be living on expectations they can't fulfill because it's really not their job to do, or it's not their strength to operate the same way it has historically, or others in their family have historically.
That's really true. And wouldn't you say as well that sometimes in family held businesses, some of the best leadership development is actually for the younger members to go do something different before they come and then come back? But then you
right.
have that whole insider outsider process that certainly SEMA could anchor that type of a transition curve from them.
Exactly. We're serving an organization, very large manufacturing organization that way. And some of the individuals have had their time out, and then they're coming back in their maybe later 20s. And I think it is good to have some framework about how do you get experience out there, learn yourself a bit more. And this organization is even helping people do that who are outside of the business, and then as they come back in, think about what an ideal role might be going forward.
Very good. Well, Suze Grimes and Mark Stevenson, thanks for joining me here today. We're going to look forward to a future 15-minute segment and keep building upon the possibility. Thanks for all your help in helping people understand their giftedness in place. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, have a great day.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, SIMA International, for inspired performance.